Turn your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight to the book of Colossians. You say, "Preacher, I thought we were going to talk about the Psalms," and we are. So let's start tonight in Colossians chapter number 3. Would you turn there? And then we're going to look at some other portions of Scripture tonight as we introduce a new series of messages that I've entitled Treasures from the Psalms. Colossians chapter number 3. And find, if you would please, verse number 16. Colossians chapter 3 and find verse number 16. Give you a moment to find your place there, and then we're going to slip over to another passage. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Notice the Bible said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms." Look at there. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And what a blessing. And God said, teach and admonish one another in psalms. Look over at Ephesians chapter number 5. Would you look there? Ephesians chapter number 5. The Bible talks about being filled with the Spirit of God and being a Spirit-filled believer. One of the evidences of the Spirit-filled life is song. It's music. Look if you would, verse number 19 of Ephesians chapter number 5. Speaking to yourselves in what, church? Psalms. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In Colossians chapter 3, we're singing and making melody. We're singing to one another. And that's good. We did that tonight when we sang together, the family of God. We sang an opening hymn tonight, and we come together and we sing. And then God said, not only should we sing to each other and sing together, but we ought to sing to ourselves and sing to the Lord. And when we're alone. And God said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody. I believe that's a joyful heart, don't you? When you got melody in your heart, you've got a joyful heart. And God wants you and I to have a joyful heart. Now, God's people have always been a singing people. Did you know that? God's given us a new song. He lifted me up out of a horrible pit, brought me out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And so we're a singing people. And it's not without significance that God has devoted the largest book, the largest portion of Scripture in the Bible that we're going to study over the next while to the Psalms. 150 inspired songs of worship and praise from God, the heart of God to our hearts tonight. God has given us songs that we can sing to Him. And you say, "Preacher, there's no music there." You're right. God wants us to take that and to internalize it and give it back to Him through praise and prayer and worship to the Lord. And we're going to talk about that. And I believe the reason why Christians are drawn to the Psalms, this book of the Psalms, is because they speak the universal language of the human soul. It doesn't matter the culture, it doesn't matter the age in which a person's lived, whether it was in the days that they were written, whether today or sometime in the future, doesn't matter the culture, the language that's spoken, the Psalms speak to the matters of the human heart. It's the universal language of the soul. Somebody said this, said, "Whatever our spiritual mood may be, there is sure to be a psalm which reflects it. Whether it be triumph or defeat, excitement or depression, joy or sorrow, praise or penitence, wonder or anger, whatever it is that's the mood of the heart, there is a psalm that will reflect that mood and deal with whatever is going on in our lives. Above all, when you and I study the Psalms tonight, this is just some introductory thoughts. They're going to reflect the greatness of God. You cannot go to the book of Psalms and not come away with a greater love and appreciation and knowledge of the God of heaven, of the God that loves you and the God that loves me tonight, the God that's at work in our lives. Do you realize that over the course of our study through the Psalms, we're going to learn and see God as creator. We're going to see Him as sustainer and king and caregiver and savior and father and shepherd and judge. The Psalms lead us to God. Listen, you can't go to the Psalms and not wind up before the Lord. It's going to lead us into the presence of God. And it's going to bring us to a place of worship in our heart to the God of heaven. Listen, the Psalms will always lead you into the presence of God. As we explore them together, we're going to draw out for our lives what I want to call the treasures from the Psalms. We're going to pull some nuggets out that I believe will be treasures in our heart that will help us in our own personal life. Many times, I don't know if you're like me, but many times in difficult times, crisis moments, times when I hurt, I'm down, I'm discouraged, I'm confused, bewildered, whatever, I find myself drawn to those 150 Psalms in the Bible, those 150 inspired hymns that God's given to us. And we want to look at them tonight in an overview, probably tonight and another night. We're just going to sort of look at the entire book of Psalms and understand it, and then we're going to delve into it psalm by psalm by psalm. Now, in most cases, we're only going to preach one message out of each psalm until we get to 119, and then we might preach 8, okay, out of that one. But we'll see when we get there. And so let's dive in tonight, and let's learn something about the Psalms. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Chronicles chapter number 16. Turn there. 1 Chronicles chapter number 16. And it's here we're going to find the first mention of the Psalms in the Bible. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Not without significance that it is mentioned in connection with a man by the name of David. I want you to look, if you would, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and find, if you would please, verse number 1. This is a time of worship. It's a great spiritual high, so to speak, a mountaintop experience for the nation of Israel. David, who has now defeated much of the armies that were against Israel and the enemies of Israel, is now bringing the Ark of God to Jerusalem, to the tabernacle there in Jerusalem. And it's a great time of celebration and worship of the God of heaven. And notice, if you would, verse number 1. So they brought the Ark of God. The Ark of God symbolized the presence of God among His people, and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread, a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. They got some grape juice. Look at verse 4. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. So these were the people that were involved in the public worship of God and leading the nation in worship. And he begins to mention them. Asaph, the chief, next to him, Zechariah, Jael, Shemaroth, and Benaiah, and Obed-Edom, and Jael, and with psalteries and with harps. But Asaph made a sound with cymbals. And then he talks about blowing the trumpets, verse 6, but look at verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. So God had led David to compose a psalm of worship and praise and thanksgiving to the God of heaven that he's going to deliver to Asaph, who's the chief choir leader, and they're going to sing it in worship there in Jerusalem. So let's ask some questions, all right? Are you ready? First of all, when were the Psalms written? I mean, how old is the book? Do you realize that we're going to study some Psalms that are over 3,000 years they were written over 3,000 years ago in the days of ancient Israel. Can I tell you that even though that they were written over 3,000 years ago, they are as vibrant and fresh and relevant today as when they were first composed. As a matter of fact, somebody wrote, no other book of the Bible compares with the wonder of the sacred collection of inspired worship songs as the Psalms, considered by many to be the most loved portion of Scripture in the Bible. And it's in 1 Chronicles, what we saw there, 16:7. It's mentioned for the first time, and King David is the first person to have this word connected to him. And so we find that the book of Psalms, what we'd understand is the book of Psalms, is probably well over 3,000 years old in the sense of when it was written. But secondly, who wrote it? Let me just say, one of the interesting things of studying the Psalms, and I'm in my own personal study at Psalm 130, okay? And here's what I've learned. Behind every Psalm is a person who wrote it. They had a story. There was something they wanted to share. Many times it was out of a crisis experience. I read one where he said, "Out of the depths I cried." Have you ever been? You ever been in the depths before? Have you ever been low and down and discouraged and you don't even really realize what's going on and all of this in your life? And you know what? He didn't know which way to turn. And suddenly he said, "God, I can turn to you. Out of the depths I cried." Listen, when you don't know where else to turn, aren't you glad there's a God we can turn to tonight? There's a God who hears and answers. And so there's a story that to share, and it's there that they share that story under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so King David, let's go through here and learn some of the people that wrote some Psalms. King David has the most writers, by the way, most human writers of any book. King David is known as the sweet psalmist of Israel. He wrote 75 or 150, or about half of the book of Psalms was attributed to a man by the name of King David. And we're going to look a lot of his songs, and we're going to learn a lot of instances in his life. Next to him was a man by the name of Asaph that's mentioned that we read about tonight. He was a priest and a worship leader of ancient Israel. He wrote 12 psalms, and you're going to read some psalms of a man by the name of Asaph. And then the sons of Korah. Boy, that is a story in itself. Do you know that Korah is the one who rebelled against Moses and the earth opened up and swallowed up him and his family? Remember that? Well, some of his extended family, the sons of Korah, that were descendants of them, that weren't involved in that rebellion, you know what? They're found in the temple of God leading worship. I mean, they're part of the choral group within the choir, that it was their full-time job to worship and praise the God of heaven. Aren't you glad that God is the God of the second chance tonight? I mean, listen, you look at Korah and they were a mess, but you know what? There were some of his descendants said, "You know what? We're not going to let our father define us. We're going to be a group of people that's going to live for God." You know what? You don't have to let your past define you. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. I'm glad he's God of the second chance and third chance. King Solomon wrote two of them. Moses wrote one. It's one of the most powerful psalms in the Bible. And there's another psalm right next to it that may be attributed to him, but there's no actual name there that tells us that Moses wrote it. A man by the name of Heman wrote one. Ethan wrote one. And then watch this. This is what's really interesting. There are 48 of them that we call orphan psalms. You know why we call them that? Because they don't have a human writer attached to them. We don't know who wrote them. We don't know who it was. We sometimes look at the history of the psalm and what's going on in the psalm, and we may suppose that this individual may have written it, and there's some psalms that get attributed to David, but we really don't know if David wrote them or not because there's no name attached to them. You know why I believe God allowed some psalms to be written with no name attached to them? Because there may be some psalms where you say, "Well, I'm not Ethan and I'm not Heman and I'm surely not David, and can God do something in my life?" And so God said, "I'm going to leave some of them without a human name to them so that everybody can put their name there." Isn't that amazing? And so we find that they're orphan psalms. And we find that I believe that Ezra, the scribe, the compiler, it was Ezra that we believe that compiled all of the psalms. They were written, and you're going to find, we're going to study, they say were divided by Israel, ancient Israel, into books. And we'll see that, into volumes. And that's what's interesting. In the 150 psalms, there's actually five volumes that they fit into. Okay, and we're going to see that in another message. And most people, Bible students, believe that Ezra the scribe that you read about in the book of Ezra was the one who compiled the Psalms into one book. And I personally believe, now this is just me, a lot of people believe that David wrote Psalm 119. We don't know who wrote Psalm 119, doesn't have a name to it. I tend to think that Ezra did. I do, because he was a man who loved the Word of God. And it's 175 or 76 verses about the Word of the living God. Isn't that amazing? An entire psalm, the longest chapter in the Bible, is about the Word of God and what it is in our lives, and we're going to look at it. So we find that you have these different writers. But let me just tell you something. You may have all kinds of different writers, all right? But let me just say you only got one author. And He's the Holy Spirit. He's the God of heaven. Turn your Bibles, if you would. And I think it's in your notes, but I'm going to turn there because it's not in mine. I want you to look with me at 2 Samuel chapter number 23. Would you turn there? 2 Samuel chapter number 23. And it may be right there in your notes. I'm not exactly sure. But I want you to hear what David said. David is going to let you know that he's not really the author. he said, now these be the last words of David. It's some, this is 2 Samuel 23 verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His Word was in my tongue. Friend, listen, can I tell you, the book of Psalms is not a bunch of songs written by men. It's a whole lot of inspired poems that's been written by the Holy Ghost and given to the human writers as it tells their story and how God worked in their lives. And you know what? One of the best ways that I can learn about God and how He works is to see Him at work in other people's life, and it teaches me something about how He can work in my life and how He can work in your life tonight. We're going to see that. I want you to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That would include the Psalms. 2 Peter 1:21 tells us that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. David didn't just wake up one day and think, well, you know what, I'm going to write a worship song. No, the Holy Spirit of God moved on his heart and guided him and gave him the very words, and he pinned them down. And no doubt there were times that David would write those Psalms and he'd look at him and go, Wow. Especially when you get to Psalm 22 and you begin to write of the cross. The Bible said that they desired to look into those things. They didn't understand everything that you and I understand tonight. Boy, we get to look at the Psalms in a whole different way than those who actually wrote them. Now, they lived them, but you and I can learn from them. Isn't that an amazing thing? The psalmist was an inspired poet. That's what he was. And the Psalms were Hebrew poetry to be recited or sung in worship to God. The collection of the Psalms found in our Bible is known as the Book of Psalms. The Hebrews actually called it the Book of Praises, and we'll see that in just a moment. Now let me tell you something about Hebrew poetry that's very interesting, all right? We're gonna get into a little meat tonight before we go home, but it's important to understand these things when you approach the psalm, because Hebrew poetry is not about how the poem or the song rhymes. We think Jack and Jill went up the hill. I think that nursery rhyme, and Jack and Jill went up the hill, and that was just the only reason I used that is because that was the only one I could remember, Jill and Hill, okay? So y'all okay with that? It's just the only one I could remember at the moment. And so it's all about rhyming. But that's not true of Hebrew poetry. They don't rhyme. As a matter of fact, you're going to find that Hebrew poems that are inspired by God reflect truth. And so what you're going to find is what they're based on is parallelism. And you say, preacher, that's a whole big word. What does that mean? That just means that God's going to say the same thing in some psalms and sometimes even in the same verse a different way, because He wants you and I to get it. He doesn't want us to miss the truth that He wants you and I to understand from that particular psalm. And so you're going to find that God will repeat it several times. Well, let's ask a third question, not very quickly, and we're working our way through. Why were the psalms written? And I'll give you several reasons why tonight, and that's, I believe, where we're going to get into some of the meat of the message. Now, I think it's important that you and I understand the truth of the Bible and what lays behind the books that God has given to us. And what I mentioned earlier, the Hebrew title is Book of Praises. You know what that tells me? The main purpose of the Book of Psalm was to offer praise to the God of heaven. They're going to lead us to praise. The word Psalms literally means a plucking. It means the plucking of strings. All right? And so it was a poem or song sung to the accompaniment of a plucked or a stringed instrument, such as a harp or a lyre. The Bible will talk about an instrument of 10 strings or a 10-stringed harp. And you'll find that in Psalm 33 in verse number 2. Not every psalm was sang in the sung in the same manner. Some were sung without accompaniment. They're a cappella. Some of them were sung in what I would say what I believe would be an echo, where one group, that maybe the singing men would sing one stanza and the singing women would sing the other stanza, and they would sing back and forth to one another in praise to God. And you'll see that displayed in the book of Psalms as they worship God. You see, it's the Hebrew hymn book, 150 power-packed praise. Songs of praise to assist them as well as us in our worship of God. It's the Psalms that we learn how to worship. Boy, isn't that important tonight, that we know how to worship God biblically. You know, I think there's a whole lot of stuff out here that people call worship. They do. But I'm going to tell you, you want to learn how to worship, then go to the Psalms. It's there. And oftentimes you're going to find them on their face before God. So not only do you see that they lead us to the worship of God, but next they bring us into the presence of God. Let's look at a psalm very quickly. Turn to Psalm 22 and verse number 3. Would you do that? Psalm 22 and verse number 3. And let's look at a couple psalms tonight. It's going to talk to us about the presence of God. Psalm 22 and find verse number 3. Now it's Bible study night, so let's study the Bible together. Verse number 3. But thou art holy. Psalm 22 verse 3. But thou art holy. Now watch this next phrase. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. That word inhabitest means to dwell. Do you know that you and I are never closer to God, and God is never closer to us than when we are praising Him from the heart? God inhabits the praises of His people. And we learn from the Psalms. And here's what you're going to learn. There are some situations in life you can't pray your way through, but you sure can praise your way through. Absolutely. You know how you know that? Because there's sometimes that the depth that we go to is so deep we don't even know what to pray for or how to pray. But it's in those moments that we can praise God, and God begins to inhabit the praises and lift us out of the doldrums and the crisis moments of our life. You can praise Him. And so they're going to bring us into the presence of God. As we study the Psalms, we're a time and time and time again, we're going to enter the presence of God with the psalmist, and we're going to learn how he approached God and how God responded to him. And it'll tell us something about how God responds to us. Let me give you something else. They'll strengthen our walk with God. You want to be a strong Christian? Then you journey with me through the Psalms as we draw out some treasures. The Psalms are full of promises and principles and prayers and praises for us to incorporate into our lives. Let me tell you one of the favorite things that I've enjoyed doing is I would take a Psalm and I would begin to just do a little brief study about it and learn some things, not in depth at that moment. I was just working my way through so that as I come to the Psalms and study in preparation of preaching, I would have some background and some direction and some understanding of it. And God at that moment would drive me at the end of that psalm to begin to take the words of the psalmist and make them my words and pray them back to God. And some of the sweetest moments I've had in my own personal walk with God in the last several months is taking the psalms and begin praying them back to God and to praise Him through that psalm. Could I encourage you tonight to begin reading through the Psalms and find some Psalms to pray and praise your way through? It'll bring you into the presence of God. The Bible's a living book. Would we agree with that tonight? The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, it's living and powerful. It's a living book. It's a powerful book. Boy, what a blessing that means the Psalms are living and they're powerful. Therefore, they speak to us. They speak to us. Every time you read a psalm, God has something to say to you. He does. All right? Let's talk about how they speak. First of all, they speak downward. God speaks to us. God speaks to us through His Word. The Lord Jesus put it this way, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's come from the very breath of God, the very mouth of God, that God gave the Word, the psalmist said, and great was the company of them. God's going to speak to us through the Psalms. Sometimes He speaks directly. Let me show you. Turn to your Bible to Psalm 91. Now, we're going to see it in Psalm 2 very quickly, but it's really obvious right here in Psalm 91. You're going to find is that the psalmist begins to talk about he that dwells in a secret place and all of this. But here's what's amazing. In the midst of it, after the psalmist speaks, God begins to directly speak. Look at verse number 14. Here's God speaking. Because He hath set His love upon me. He's now talking. You know, the first 13 verses, the psalmist is talking about God. Now God's going to talk about the psalmist. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. What a blessing. He's going to pray and I'm going to answer. Aren't you glad that when you pray, God answers? I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And so we find that God speaks directly to us as He spoke there to the psalmist, and the psalmist recorded those words. But then there's times that God speaks to us indirectly through the Psalms. Let me show you what I mean by that. Turn to Psalm 104. Turn to Psalm 104. Here God's going to speak to us indirectly. Because we're going to learn a lot about God in this psalm. God is using the psalmist to teach us about Him. Notice the psalmist starts off with words of praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who covereth Thyself with light as with a garment. Who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain. Here He's Creator. Who layeth the beams of His chambers in the water. Who maketh the clouds His chariot. Who walketh upon the wings of the wind. It's amazing what you just learned about God right there in those few verses. God spoke to us about Himself indirectly through the psalmist. He said, I want you to know about me. Look over at verse number 33. He said, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. Boy, that's something good to do, isn't it? As long as you live, sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. You know what? There's times I don't feel like singing. What about you? There's times I don't feel like praising. Here's what I found from the psalmist. Praise and sing when you don't feel like it, and it's amazing how quick you will feel like it. It'll change your mood. It'll change the heart when I begin to praise God. Something, listen, it does something in me. I've tried it. It works. Look, if you would please, verse number 30. He said, I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Verse 34, my meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad. Did you notice that was a choice? He didn't say, I am glad. Did you notice that? He said, I will. I'm going to make a choice. I'm going through a difficult time. There's a crisis going on in my life. I don't feel like praising. I don't feel like blessing. I don't feel like worshiping. I don't feel like singing. But I will. I'm going to make it a conscious choice in my life. Can I tell you something, Christian? In those low moments of your life, that's when you can't wait on your feelings to catch up. You just in that moment need to make the choice. I will sing praise to my God. I will bless the Lord. I will lift Him up. I will do that. It's an act of the will. Don't wait on your feelings. Friend, let your will lead your feelings rather than your feelings lead your will. God intended we take the Psalms and speak or use them. And you're going to find that God said, I want you to speak to yourselves in Psalms. Not only speak downward, they speak upward. Here we speak to God. Look back at Psalm 103 verse 1. Would you look back there real quickly? All right. Here we speak to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all. You know what that word bless means? It means to speak well of. You know what he's saying? Talk to God and speak well of Him. Here's what we do when we pray. And we wonder why our prayer life is stale and stagnant. And many times it seems like we're not going anywhere in our prayer life. Is we go before God and we begin to tell Him about all that's going on in our life. And God, I need this and this and this and this and this. And you hadn't taken one second to say, God, I just want to tell you how wonderful you are and how great you are and how good you are. And God, can I just take a moment before I say anything about me, before I say anything about what's going on in my life, before I say anything about what's going on in my family's life, my world, I just want to pause right here and I want to bless your name. I want to say something good about you, God. When was the last time you spoke to God and said something good about Him to Him? That's what the psalmist did. He spoke upward. He took and spoke directly to God. Look at Psalm 105 verse 1. Psalm 105 verse 1. He said, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Glory ye in His holy name. Verse 4, seek the Lord. Verse 5, remember His... But did you notice it began with giving thanks and singing to the Lord, speaking directly to God. Isn't that amazing? We speak to Him. That's vertical in nature. That helps our prayer life. It helps our praise life. Psalm 96 verse 1 talks about singing unto the Lord. Can I tell you, you can't do that with the world's music blaring in your ears. If that's all you listen to is the world's music, you won't have anything to sing back to God. The other night I was in my office studying, and I don't know if you know, sometimes I think this thing my wife has that talks to her family, this Alexa thing sitting on the kitchen thing, you know. I like when it gives recipes. That's what I like. But anyway, it's sitting there. I'll look at it, and suddenly on the screen will come a chocolate cake, and I'll say, I want that. That looks good, you know. Anyway, I'm digressing. But here's this thing, and she's talking to family or this, that, and the other, you know, and all. And the other night, I didn't know you could do this. it don't listen to me. It only listens to her. I can't get it to do anything. I think she's got it trained. But anyway, she tells it to do stuff and it does it. And so suddenly, I'm hearing through the house while she's washing the dishes, and I'm in my office doing some last minute work for the night after I got home, and she's cleaning up supper, and suddenly I begin to hear God's music coming through the house. And it's amazing how through a very hectic day. I mean, I couldn't even explain to you what my Monday looked like. It was anyway. And I got home, and I'm all hyped up. Probably my blood pressure's out there, whatever. And that began to come through there. And suddenly, my whole spirit began to ratchet down. There came a calmness. It's no wonder, I was reading about this the other day, when Elisha came in the presence of the wicked king and he asked him something, he said, "Go get me somebody that can sing and play an instrument. I need to hear some good Christian music because I'm getting ready to let this guy right here have it." Can I tell you, when you feel like you're about ready to let the world have it, maybe that's when you need to stop a moment and begin to sing to God. Amen. And let Him ratchet your heart down. I know it's about time to quit, but let me give you this one more. It speaks inward. We speak to ourselves. I want you to look at Psalm 42. Would you turn there with me real quick? Psalm 42. This is an interesting psalm when we get there. This is a psalm for those who are depressed and battle major discouragement in their lives. All of us have blue days and blah days and down days, but the psalmist here is in the depths of despair. And he begins to talk to himself. He begins to think about where he's at in life, and then he began to look away from his problems and he began to look to God. You know, that's what you and I need to do. If we'll quit looking to the news and look into this and look into that and looking to the answer, the other, and start and looking within, because I'm telling you, you look to the end, you get in within, you get depressed. Look up. Look what the psalmist says. I want you to look at verse number 5. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" He's talking to himself. Why am I so depressed? Soul, why are you so down and discouraged and noisy? Hope thou in God. He just talked to himself. But hope God, hope in God. Quit looking around and start looking up. Watch this. "For I shall yet praise Him for the help." God's going to help me. Listen, this is going to pass. It ain't going to last forever. I'm going to come out of this. I'm going to hope in God. And I'm going to look to Him because God is going to help me with this. He's going to turn His face toward me and He's going to help me. He's going to say it again. Look at verse number 11. He's talking to him. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted with him? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." God, you're going to heal my heart. You're going to heal my hurt. God, you're going to bring me out. Isn't that amazing? When you come to Psalm 43, I believe it's a twin psalm, and it has the same... It has the same refrain. Look at 43 verse 5. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Have you noticed how that's almost like a hymn where he says some things and then there's the chorus? Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. Can I just tell you, Christian, you might be a little down tonight. Why don't you hope in God? Look up. We speak to ourselves. Can I tell you, in times of discouragement and crisis, don't you listen to me, it's important what you say to yourself. Did you hear me? Be careful what you say to yourself. We talk to ourselves. We do. I do, you do, we all do. Okay? And sometimes we say things to ourselves that take us further away from God. David did that. David had a tough time in his life, and here's what he said. He said, "I shall yet one day die by the hand of Saul. It's nothing better than for me than to go into the land of the Philistines." You know what he just did? He left the promised land and he went to a pagan land and he talked himself out of the will of God. I could not tell you the number of Christians that used to sit in chairs just like these that you're sitting in tonight, and a crisis moment in their life came and they talked themselves out of the will of God and out of the house of God, and they're out in the world tonight because they said the wrong things to themselves. Matter of fact, you and me can be our worst enemies. Did you know that? And so why don't you learn to encourage yourself in the Lord as David did at Ziklag in 1 Samuel chapter 30, where he encouraged himself in the Lord and learned to say the right things to yourself. Hey, the devil will talk to you. The world will talk to you. And sometimes we'll talk to ourselves. But how important it is when we talk to ourselves that we say what God says. Hope in God. It's going to be okay. This too is going to pass. I shall yet... Hey, the praising days are coming. I shall yet praise Him because He's the health of my countenance. He's the one who heals me. Boy, can you see that suddenly the psalmist who's down here is beginning to come up for air? He's about ready to break through. You know what? There's some people, if we were honest tonight, you need to break through in your life, don't you? I'm glad through the Psalms when we can learn to praise and to worship and to go to God the way they did, we can experience some breakthroughs in our own personal lives. Listen, the Psalms speak downward. They're going to speak back upward to God, but they're also going to speak inward as we internalize them in our own lives, and we shall be changed. Amen? Amen. God will change us. Let's bow our heads in prayer and stand to our feet.